What's up, Trash Talkers? Here at Veteran Trash Talk, we actually vet our sponsors. We don't just take their money and run like a Butterbar Lieutenant lost on a land nav course. Are you finally ready to plant your flag and claim your territory? Maybe it's time to use that VA loan to buy a home. Or hell, maybe you're looking to refinance and put some extra cash in your pocket for more questionable life decisions. Either way, the Veterans Mortgage Source, powered by Canopy Mortgage, has your six. Look, buying a home or refinancing can feel like getting overrun on a bad op. Chaotic, confusing, and full of obstacles that make no damn sense. That's where Corey and his team come in. They're like the QRF of home loans, ready to pull you out of the chaos and guide you to the best program for you. And trust me, they'll answer all your questions. Yeah, even the dumb ones. Whether you're a salty vet or fresh out of barracks still trying to figure out where your TA-50 went. Great service, solid rates, and a team that actually understands the military life. That's why all of us here at Veteran Trash Talk trust them to do right by every veteran in their family. Ready to lock it in? Give Corey a call or shoot him a text at 808-699-7874. That's 808-699-7874. Don't wait. Unless you like overpaying and getting treated like an FNG. The Veterans Mortgage Source is powered by Canopy Mortgage, LLC. All loans are subject to credit and property approval.
Hey, what's up, Trash Talkers? Listen, it's impossible to fight, okay, if you don't know what you're fighting for. Does that make sense? Like, if you're in the dumps and you're struggling with mental health, things of that nature, it's going to continue tearing you down, all right? Because you're consistently trying to fight something, which is that demon, which is usually something from the past, right? Maybe that why needs to be fighting for your future. Let that be your why. Get the hell up and start fighting for your future. Stop fighting things that happened in the past. Easier said than done, right? Go seek help. It's okay not to be okay. A lot of people need to hear this. You are more of a warrior and a fighter if you stand up and say, hey, this has to stop. I need to go seek help. The stigma, everything has changed. It's okay not to be okay.
And so my honesty cap is dedicated to a little, we'll call it a public service announcement for civilians and other people in the military. There are a few people that you should always take their stories with a grain of salt. Vegans, CrossFitters, and special operations guys that tell you that they were special operations without being prompted. The first thing they say is, yeah, I used to be soft. Right. The only unicorn in that entire group is like a special operations guy that was like a vegan and did CrossFit. That guy's probably going to stay quiet for a little bit longer because he's confused as what he should talk about first. That's the only reason, right? Anybody that says that they were soft without being prompted or without it being like a normal part of your communications is probably either an enabler or going to tell you a bunch of stuff that's not exactly true.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Hitting you up this morning with a special promo on how to dress when you are doing PT in civilians, but you want everybody to know you're an Army. This comes from the Buddy Beckwith fashion design of how to work out. So first, you can notice the RI panties, not Ranger panties, but Ranger instructor panties. The green socks, the knee brace for the old guys, don't forget the M-frames. Now the shirt, don't wear the Trash Talk shirt while you're running. This is just for the promo. You want to put on like an 80-second shirt or like your favorite airborne shirt so everybody knows that you're a veteran. That's the most important thing. And you start with this stretch. Buddy Beckwith taught me this one. Ready to go.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Hour, hosted by Nick, Dave, and Buddy. Real warriors making fun of other real warriors. Try to not get triggered.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What is up, Gruntworks Nation? I'm welcome to season 2, real. Episode 23 of the Trash Talk Hour.
Oh, special my God.
Is Tanner And as usual, I'm here with Buddy and Nick. All different parts of the world. Buddy's tuning in from Egypt. Nick's pissed. Should we even do a show today? Do
we just? Yeah, we should. We should. We need therapy because, a big shout out to Corey, our sponsor. You know, they paid us. You know, I sent, you know, the sponsorship payments. You know, the people who, you know, like are part of ETT. I still got to get the moderators on Monday. You know, I sent Buddy a check, right? And Buddy showed up to work early today, right? Weird. You know, you take care of your people. That's what happens. You know, I sent our producer a check, and apparently he just took that check and threw his fucking computer out the window. I don't know. Like, maybe that's what you do.
If it makes you feel any better, like literally 20 seconds ago, I just sneezed real bad and farted at the same time. I thought I ripped my butthole open.
Did you shart?
No. It just, when the gas comes out that fast from both ends.
About velocity.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my Lord. It's definitely about velocity. And when it slams shut, it slams shut down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Egypt was rumbling. That was painful. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the eighth flag.
Pyramids and shit.
Yeah. You can, well, when it's not hazy, you can see them from out of the balcony, but it's been hazy the whole time we've been here. So it's only about a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, happy Ramadan.
Yeah. Do what?
He said happy Ramadan.
Yeah, it is Ramadan. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a way better, I would say, for all the veterans out there, especially the GWAT veterans. Going back and revisiting some of those places, maybe not Baghdad, might be a little bit weird, but going back to the Middle East and like visiting like Egypt or Jordan or whatever, as a civilian, is a completely different it's a different mindset. It's a whole lot better. Like we talked to Vietnam vets, it's about like going back or whatever. Yeah. And when you get to go back and like actually see the people, not as a soldier, but as just somebody that's visiting and touring and wants to like take part in their culture. It's a completely different way. Better. It's a better situation than, the last time
you've been to Egypt. Didn't you deploy to Egypt with 2P?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in 1978.
Sure it wasn't like 98 or 99.
Thank you very much. It was in 2000. And then I was here with the fifth group for, you know, a JSET. So.
We can't talk about that.
Nope.
Yeah, it's different.
But
can't talk about it. That's a conspiracy we should just talk about.
Yeah.
The drug running.
I can't figure out how to upload this video. We should. Because the video is a really good one. And we'll get to that, but it needs the full video for the full explanation.
Well, I saw the one that you guys were talking about the other day where they were talking about the CIA funding poppy fields in Afghanistan.
I think
that's a true thing. Anyway,
if you're not willing to sell a little bit of heroin to spread.
I forgot the name of it. Maybe you can look up on Messenger, the name of the podcast. But I like it. I like the idea. I'll start it off. I'll explain it, but. You know, China and Russia, there's the theory that they're sending fentanyl into the United States to crush our society from the inside. And we counter with the reason we're not shutting these opium farms fields down is because we're sending that shit into Russia and China. Like, there you go. Get on some heroin, baby. Like, I mean,
the truth is probably a lot more logical and simple than what you're thinking, though.
Most of the things are a lot more logical and simple than what we talk about.
The truth is that if you tell people that make their living and a fairly good amount of money and have a lot of people that secure their fields, that they can't make any money and secure their fields and you're going to get rid of them, then they turn into bad guys real quick. And if you just buy it off of them and then destroy it, it's a whole lot easier. They get to work. They have things.
Or send it into Russia.
Yeah. I mean, conceivably, I guess, but.
Or sell it to people in Russia.
That's where I was going to get at. I would go as far to venture and say that we would definitely like and then sell it, like even here in the U.S.
And then we go do operations in other parts of the world funded by that. kind of like the Phoenix program.
Maybe, but I doubt
Operation Gangster, Freeway Ricky American Ross.
Gangster, he was shipping drugs. Wasn't American Gangster based? Weren't they like landing drugs?
That was about the
like,
Phoenix program. Yeah. That's about the Phoenix program. That's
yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is literally how we got crack. You know, I mean, if we this is literally how this took place.
How do we make this cheaper and make more money faster? Make it crack.
And spread democracy. You got to add spread democracy on the end of it. Or it
right. So, you know, we can kill the less, we can kill a lot of people in the United States as long as democracy is spreading around the globe. I like it.
See, that's
I'm
what I'm
sure that there are other ways to use poppies.
No. Like a bagel?
Yeah. What do you think you get it from?
Remember when people tried to use the excuse on a drug test? Yeah, he popped out for heroin. Oh, I ate a bagel. Yeah, okay.
My favorite drug test excuse was always a stripper gave it to me at Sharky's. She must have put it in my drink.
Which could legitimately happen. I mean, it's a pretty valid
not at all situation. Valid. I don't know this about cocaine. It's expensive. And it's an expensive prank to be like, and it's not like you give a dude coke and it's like dropping Viagra in his.
If I want to rob you, the last thing I'm gonna do is gonna make you more aware.
Exactly. Yeah.
Me and Nick have scar tissue on this. Y'all were gone by then, but like Third Brigade had our whole cult team, like was buying heroin out of Sharky's.
Yep.
And then we had to do like. What was it like 10-100% piss tests for like a month straight? And I was
Mickey's was loaded E5 with drugs style. Too.
The
first time I saw crack was outside of Mickey's. That's the first time I ever saw crack.
Yeah, the three
and guy came up. He's like, what's up, man? You want some of this? I was like, nah, I'm good, man. And the bouncer's like, I told you the white boy ain't gonna buy none off you.
Like, but what if he could call you a communist? He's like, you're not trying to spread freedom.
Yeah, you buy this so we can go kill some people in El Salvador with the Hondurans and guns from Iran. Okay, all right, here's $10.
I'll donate. I didn't know this.
To keep the crap.
I didn't know your righteous cause, sir. I'm sorry.
Sorry, partner. Yeah.
Tell Ollie I said hi. Yeah, but
that's rough.
Yeah. That's the fun conspiracy, I guess. But hey, yeah, I make fun of Chris just because I can. I mean, you know, and like I said on the show yesterday, which you probably didn't watch, I said like, you know, hey, he's not here today because his dad's in the hospital. So yeah, we are thinking about your dad, Chris, and he's in our prayers. But doesn't mean we're not gonna fuck with you.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Like,
also,
yeah,
get your computer fixed.
Yeah, get your computer fixed because we paid for it. So
yeah, and if you're looking at those videos on a work computer, it's the wrong answer, my man. So
yeah. I'm expect 5 things you did to make it improved by tomorrow. Otherwise, you'll get dosed. I want five things you did about this computer today. I want to see it.
Yeah, what did you do? Yeah, exactly.
You can't write classified. So.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Previous
to a lot of our close friends that are, you know, posting about that stuff to obviously have some concerns. And you're like,
obviously
can't really respond to that. And you know,
it reminds me of the video.
The email literally says not to respond to it because it's from an unverified sender. Like,
the funny thing about that whole situation is like it's literally like that Forrest Gump meme where it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden the conservatives were all Democrats. Wait a second, you're gonna take away my job if I don't do anything? This is bullshit.
It's Tanner and I talk about this all the time. It's just things have been flip flopping the last 10 years so much, it's crazy.
Yeah,
all of a sudden the hippies are warmongers now. It's like, why can't you go back to smoking weed and hating more? Like,
let
the Republicans want to blow everybody up. Bro, what the hell?
Life comes at you fast, man.
What?
Fuck your body. Take the vaccine. What? No, aren't you on the other side of that?
One week, they're like, we got to go back to our offices. This is bullshit. Then the next week, they're like, we gotta have accountability for what we've done last week. This is bullshit. And there's like a construction worker that pays taxes that's looking at all that shit on Facebook, and it's just like, brother, I've been at work for 3 years now since COVID. Like, what are you talking about? You wait, you guys haven't been at the office the whole time? Like, what? And they're like, well, no, but I'm a victim. They feel bad for me. I have to go. No, you don't understand. I have to get up in the morning and early and then go to the office that they pay for me to have.
But yeah, I like, there's no more room in the office, probably because there's too many people working there.
Yeah, don't worry. We're going to fix that too. It'll be fine. Yeah. Oh, by the way, what are five things that you did?
Well, by the way, yeah. And then make sure you put in big gold dog butter.
Why should I have to say what five things? Like, it's also your opportunity to be like, I waited for my five bosses to come up with an idea. Like, I waited on the word. I was waiting on the word for approximately 16 of 40 hours last week.
Imagine that E4 spill that out.
I was disappointed. I watched porn
three times, played some Halo. I did PT though. That was good. I did do PT.
I ran six miles. That's all that matters.
I had to go in and work on some guns last week. And when I went in, most of the unit was in the field. They send their armorer back so I could get a hold of the weapons they didn't have out there with them. And there were three E3s that were just sitting there, and it was pissing rain and like kind of cold and fucking shitty outside.
Warms the heart.
And they're sitting there with a pressure washer trying to pressure wash paint off the like side. I was like, dude, just paint over it. What are you doing? Like, you're going to paint it yellow again. But they're just like, for hours, just.
Yeah, like, big Earl loves to watch Privates in the Rain. That's like,
dude, I'm calling Earl.
I love it. Like I said, it warms the heart to just see it. You know, like, they are not happy, but they'll talk about that story for the rest of their lives. So you're welcome.
100%. Yeah.
Hey, builds character. That is character right there that you're getting. So
I got smoked every day in BDUs because I had a, you know, on the spectrum platoon sergeant that thought I was someone else. So
who was
do you remember when you did the you remember when you got broadhead told to fuck off?
Oh yeah, shoot. Legend.
His name was Funk. We checked Coke. And he had like 50 cameras on his roof.
That's right, but he was awesome. He's like, I wish a private would tell me to fuck off. Funk goes, fuck off, Sergeant. Like, it was like, yes.
Hey, you guys, look. We're at like company live fire, like out at OP-13, and it's like pouring down rain. And like Nick just got back from Ranger School. Like, it wasn't long after you got back. So he's all fired up and like Pat. I think I saw Pat Washington's only ring. And he starts kind of just talking shit to Pat. We're all specialists. And yeah, Nick's telling a story about how somebody had told him to fuck off once. And Pat's like, ain't nobody ever told me to fuck off. And this kid looked him dead in his face. PSC, he'd been in the unit about 2 weeks. That's looked awesome. Him dead in his face. Like, hey, sorry, fuck off. Like, you could have. It was raining. He smoked him for like 2 hours. And then finally, somehow, Pat thought it was a good idea to give him an axe so he could like hammer in stakes. And then finally Nick stepped in. He's like, hey man, don't give that kid an axe right now. Like, that's not the
last person that should have live rounds or any type of weapon.
It was awesome, dude.
Oh man. Oh, see, I needed that breather. Oh, it's good. It's good.
The old days.
Buddy's turn.
Oh yeah, the honesty cap. You know what? I've been doing a lot of traveling recently, and I feel like we need to do a little bit of we'll talk about boundaries. Nick is usually the guy that has the bad experience. Well, the experiences. We're not gonna
the triggered experience. What triggered me?
Yeah. But you also are the one that always has like the Karen that's like losing her mind on the plane or whatever. But I feel like a lot of the issues are because people, maybe they don't travel as much as other people, so they don't understand the boundaries. And like, for instance, security should be a challenge. It should be a game. You should see how fast you can get through security. So before you get there, you should be like taking off belts, pre-poing stuff, taking your shoes off, seeing how you can just like zoom through. If you get faster than the person that's directly beside you in line, you win. You're the winner. You own that dude or whatever. For the rest of the time you're in the airport, if you see him, you can be like, little bitch, can't even get through security. Look at you, Mr. Fucking Tortoise. I'm the hare out here running around. Anywho, but the big one, just like in a car, right? If you're the driver of the car, everything from your door to the opposite side of the radio is your area. The passenger has a little air conditioner vent that they can adjust. Yeah. They can open their window to a point. You know, they've got their smaller area because they're not in charge of the car. The cockpit is yours, right? When you sit down in an airplane, you have to understand everything from the plastic portion of the seat in front of you.
A little tray. Yeah.
Behind your cushion to where the plastic starts, that's yours. Everything behind that plastic, that's the person behind you's, right? So if you put your hair, your hands, like whatever over that, you're in someone else's area and you should be able, whatever that is, should be able to get cut off. You should be able to carry, maybe not a big blade, but a small little bitty one that you could just like saw their fingers off if they're like reaching over onto your screen. You know, you want to recline? Recline. All the seats recline. You paid for it to recline. That's part of the function. Recline all you want. Not a big problem. But just recline. It's not a rocking chair. We're not back here like grandpa sitting on the front porch just going back and forth. You, once or twice, adjust where you want and then stay there. It's not a video game. We're not like bouncing around like we're at the freaking Madison County Fair just having a little joy ride at 30,000 feet. We're not. We're reclining. We're stopping. We may go back up when it's time to eat, but we're going back down just once or twice a flight, not 50 or 60 times. And watch where your shit is. I would like to be able to carry scissors and just cut people's hair and or their fingers off because it drives me nuts.
Damn, that's intense. You always resort to violence.
I think violence is a lot of times the answer, to be honest. People say violence is not the answer.
Well, for setting boundaries, violence has to be, we've talked about this before, the reason why men don't talk as much shit as women, like they're not as evil to each other is because there's always the threat of violence with the male. And then there's some women that'll throw hands, and then like that's
my wife. Yeah, my wife.
Yeah, like just be careful with that one. Be careful with that one. Yeah. Like go ahead and mouth off to that one, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like you know, you set your boundaries, but when somebody crosses that red line,
yeah, you get one tap. You get a tap. The ROE on an airplane is
okay. There you go. Like an ROE.
There we go.
ROE. Okay.
Escalation of force. Yeah.
But once you get a tap, if you don't correct whatever behavior you're
then a pull, maybe then a pull.
No, it's a tap and
maybe
then a
tap pull.
Tap warning and then it's
right to deadly.
There's not eight warning shots. There's a warning shot and then you're getting.
So your tap is your warning shot.
Yes. Yeah.
There needs to be some
verbal
for that.
Like a verbal
maybe.
Problem. Verbal. If I push a button,
verbal
and I call
tap.
A stewardess up.
Cut
then
off
you're
finger.
Because I'm there. A snitch. I ain't no snitch. I'll take care of it myself. You get the tap. And then you get that's how it works. Like you don't like
it. I like it.
Don't cross. Right. You know what? I'm very MAGA when it comes to don't cross my border. I won't cut you off.
Yeah.
Yep. Alex says that's some serious escalation. Yeah, I agree, Alex. I think there needs to be at least three steps in place. I think Buddy's two steps system there or whatever is a little.
I think there is a step that I didn't mention. That's the cough. The like,
that's verbal.
That's verbal, essentially.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you got the tap, and then you got losing it.
Like it's all about the level of the cough.
Yelling at a moron in Iraq doesn't know what you're saying. No. Yeah. The verbal doesn't really exist.
I'll even give you a choice. You got two choices. You got the cut, or I just start bringing a little bitty thing of Nutella, like just a tiny little thing of Nutella. And then I pull my pants down, I turn around and I put the Nutella on your finger and then spread my butt cheeks and make it look like you just stuck your finger in my ass.
That's
I like you're getting way right too excited about that, buddy. I feel like you're like, too excited about that option.
We went straight to sexual assault. Yeah, that's awesome.
Just like, oh,
that would cross some federal lines, some felonies right there. So.
Yeah,
we went from, at the end of the day, if the cops come on,
aggravated assault to
aggravated, you know,
tell them to taste
aggravated assault to straight sexual assault.
Federal crime too, day for day. They don't do parole in the feds, buddy.
Technically, it's a simulated sexual assault. Because they didn't really do anything, and I gave them a delicious dessert.
It could be, I guess it could be harassment. That's not a felony.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird when you're on a plane.
Yeah. Buddy has hit a major point here to the fact, or even the Army, you know, for basic training kids has a class called setting boundaries because people just don't do it. And they called it like a foundational skill. And I like that. Like, I travel a lot, so I'm sitting down and, you know, the poor bastard that's sitting in the middle, probably a standby ticket. You know, he's lucky day he got on, right? And he's coming here and he's like, oh, shit, I'm in the middle, right? You know, I'm like, hey, man, I'm okay touching elbows, bro. Like, put it up here.
There's a those middle seat boundary. Seats are tight. If you're in the middle seat, you own both those armrests. Those are your armrests.
You own a half. You own a half of it.
No, you own the whole thing. It's middle seat, no. You get both armrests. Hard no, stance
only if you paid for it. But if you're standby, you don't own that. I got it on early and got my window. I paid for that. So like,
middle seat.
I'm a banana.
I feel like we're having that conversation now where you're like, I own it, and I'm like, okay, this guy has really, really tight boundaries, right? Like, and I'm like, how about you own? How about I get the front of it? Just give me the front of it, right? Like.
I like to just slowly, if I'm on the window or the aisle and they have their hand, I just slowly like wrap my arm under theirs and around and then just kind of
that's not creepy at all.
Like, give them a little look, like
perfectly normal behavior.
Start breathing real heavy.
That's when they get the choice. They either pull away or they push back against it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's on them. I either get that whole armrest or
you got a new friend.
I've got a buddy. We just hang out.
Yeah.
We're friends.
Yeah. You know?
Hey, and then if he doesn't drink, you're even better. Cause like, hey man, like, hey, order a fucking vodka soda. Now you got four vodkas, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
maybe get his pretzels too. You know, ask for his pretzels. Yeah.
Well, they'll probably like the pretzels. But, all right. Hey, well, as you can see on the screen, those of you who watched last week, we got Tanner back on. All right. This time, not as a guest host, but as a guest. So unfortunately, I don't think we have the pictures downloaded for Dave to show that we had. However, you can always go on his Facebook page and we'll put them up after the show or just reshare them. I think I commented on one of them as Veteran Trash Talk. Might be able to share that as well. But you know, Tanner, he doesn't talk about it often, but you know, he spent some time, you know, in logistics and supply on the border. We won't really talk about it. South of Houston, you know, doing some stuff. So
alternative economies.
You know, spreading freedom, and you know, in different ways. But other than that, he is an expert on transportation. So he has got out of the Army, where again, him, Hootie, Engdahl, and some of these fires, warrant officers I met, not really sure what they do. But I think he found a way to make himself useful for the government. What you got going on, Tanner? What are these awesome opportunities and things you got running to help help people out with?
All right, so I'm actually nervous. Usually, like, coming on and BSing with y'all is a lot of fun. I'm actually a little nervous today because it's the first time since, you know, actually being an Army, I'm trying to represent something that's a lot bigger than myself. And so, really, I'm coming on for two sole reasons. One, I want to talk about for service members, so for our active duty guys watching, what this summer move and what move, unless we can change this thing, what moving PCSing looks like you moving forward to kind of give you some warning so you can plan, right? And then the second part is really to, like, what I would say, humanize some of these drivers, because as this thing kind of unravels over the next couple of months, there's going to be like the Spider-Man meme, right? Like Transcom's going to be here, like KVR is going to be here. SecDev might, like, who knows, hopefully he tweets something and said, hey, we're going to fix this. That'd be great. But I just want to kind of tell a real quick short story. Any of, like, you know, if there's people watching and I get something wrong, I got real thick skin. So just like correct me. Right. So essentially, what's been going on is if you're used to moving, anybody here done a Diddy move, right? We moved our stuff and all that. And you might be able to make a little bit of money if you did a Diddy move. If you got, if you like heavily invested and you had a big house, got a lot of kids, you got a lot of weight, or you thought you could game the system because everybody always thought that was a thing. I mean, you had the right size trailer and stuff. You could move and you could make some money. So what that was really happening is the government was paying you what they would pay a moving company to do it, right? And the deal was, okay, you're going to take care of your stuff. We're going to give you this rate. Cool. Go on about your business. Everybody else, you know, you did like a partial Diddy or you had like somebody move you. And I don't know if she's watching, but like PCS Like a Pro has been like a really good resource for this to articulate from the service member perspective. But essentially what, you know, you would have a mover show up and you would coordinate with them and they might come out and look at the house and all that and tell you, hey, you got this stuff in the back. You got this, you got that. And they might suck, right? My experiences were good, but, you know, it's all anecdotal. So maybe you had a bad one, whatnot. But what is taking place now is about 2021-ish, 22-ish. Our good old friends, all of us here know them, KBR, decided to come in. And do KBR things because, you know, we're not all over where we were and KBR are going to get their money. So essentially what they did is they were like, hey, government, we have a solution to all your service members complaining about their moves. Right. And what they did was they bid on a sole source contract. They bid about $1 billion less than the next company. It's all public record or whatever. And so what ended up happening, they get this thing. Awkwardly, KBR doesn't own any moving trucks. They don't have any movers employed. They just inserted themselves as the middleman, right? And they're like, hey, we're the middle guys. We're going to broker all this for you. We got all this automation. We got AI. We're going to do all this stuff. And then they turn to all the moving companies, and they call this thing Home Safe Alliance, right? That's actually the name of the company. So what that means is, right, so there you are. Now KBR is calling you trying to schedule your move. And then they're going to tell you, hey, get your phone out and walk me around your house, right? And you're going to walk around your house. What they're not going to do is measure doorways. They're not going to know that that thing is super important to you. They're not going to know that costs $600. And per their contract, the guy that they're going to subcontract to come to you can't call you. They just can show up at that day. So what we're seeing and what's happening is, well, let me back up 1 second. Then they told all the moving companies, you have to move these people at 75% discount for us to meet our gate, right? So that's the rub, and that's where I want to humanize, because General Reed got in the Transcom meeting. I watched it, and he's basically like, hey, we want to not, and the quote was, I don't want to incentivize them staying outside the alliance, right? At 75% discount, there ain't enough incentive. You can't incentivize that. These companies are actually moving to other businesses, right? And so that's kind of where I got involved in this. I know one of them. I'm trying to help them pivot because there's no money to be made. So what does that leave us with? And this is what sucks for the service member. And I'm sorry this is happening, but we got pictures. You can go to PCS Pro. What's happening is grimy guys, you know, like me probably in a past life, or forming a real quick LLC, go renting a U-Haul, and then they're driving by Home Depot or whatever, and then they're hiring two people. They're coming on post. They're going to throw your stuff in the back of the truck, not to any type of regulatory standard, right? And they're going to move it to a warehouse, and then it's going to be loaded in a freight truck and then shipped wherever you're going, maybe. So recommendations for that is, like, if you're moving this summer, buy air tags, throw them in all your stuff. Cause it's like, we're not in peak season right now, but what we're seeing is like these horror stories are starting to roll. Right. And then as we get towards the summer, it's going to be a disaster. Right. Cause they're,
More about this.
It's bubbling.
It's going to come, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bubbling, and they won't be able to hide it come summer. And that's what really sucks, is the fix is way up there, you know, in the stars, kind of level. And when I watched the hearing, and what kind of sucked is, like, the Transcom commander and the senators, all of them, you could tell they just didn't. I'm a big believer everybody shows up to do the right thing. Like, I truly do believe that, right? Like, everybody, especially, you know, hey, I'm going to show up and do the right thing. You could tell they don't really grasp the problem yet. Because they just see it as KBR sees this as it's Amazon, right? Like, hey, we're just shipping things A to B. And that's really the kind of misunderstanding. It's actually a customer service business. right? And so, like, when you used to be, if the guys sucked and they didn't, so old contract, if the guys didn't show up and they missed your date, right? Like, if they missed your RDD day or didn't pick it up, they would get like a slap on the wrist and would basically be like, you can't move anybody for 30 days. That was like the deal. And then if you do it again, like, you would lose privileges for a year. So there was an incentive to at least be like on time. Like, you might mess up some other stuff. You might have some claims, which you had to pay, but most of the time you were supposed to be there, or it would, there was like a financial penalty. Right now that's out the window. They've just like changed all the rules kind of for KBR to kind of roll through it. But as I expect, kind of what I saw, and this is why I want to humanize these drivers, none of these people are millionaires. Like, one of these companies, a really good friend of mine, they've donated a lot of money to veteran causes, but it ain't because they're rich. You know what I mean? And they're about to get, like, seeing where this is going and watching what was happening in the Senate hearing, like, they're going to vilify these companies and say they just want the money, right? They, when the reality is, like, for these companies to do this, they would actually have to be, like, paying the government, like, 25%.
Wow.
And it's just not going to happen. So the system is going, like, I hate to speak in that, you know, cis speaking absolutes, like, this shit's going to break. This dog will not hunt. And they're going to kind of, and the problem is the failure to realize, if you don't just step in and do something and give some transparency to the majority of the companies that do this, they're leaving. So you're never going to get them back, right? Because even if they come back, they know they're taking a hit. Like, they'll probably be at like the, you know, 65% range or whatnot for discounts. So it's just, and Alex, like, yeah, it's coming to Oconus. Like, it's, you can Google it, man. Global Household Contract, the company that owns it, Home Safe Alliance. That's a partnership between Tier One and KBR, and yeah, man, not a good situation. And this, it'll affect multiple levels of the economy, unfortunately. Hopefully, yeah, it'll be
I mean, that's going to get really bad, right? PCS season coming up right now, so this is going to blow up everywhere. Like, if this is already like, go ahead, Nick.
No, I'd be curious to see who's on the board there.
Yeah. So, dude,
I mean, it's public record. I haven't looked it up, but you can look it up.
That, I'll tell you what. The most disappointing, and I think he's a good guy. I met him at, he got inducted, General Lyons got inducted in the 82nd Airborne Division Hall of Fame like last year when Sergeant Major Payton and them guys got inducted. So I showed up to watch Payton get inducted. And Lyons was there. And he used to be like a, whatever, like a sustainment commander, but he was the transcom commander when this idea started, right? And I like to think that paratrooper, and I'm not calling him out. What I'm saying is, your silence is deafening right now, because this idea started with you, right? And I don't think you had a wrong idea. There was inefficiencies that needed to happen, right? Like, it got it. But like, the silence coming out of that level of leader is like deafening right now. So it's kind of like, hey, man, like, you know, yeah, exactly, Nick. What boards we on? What consultant firms we working for? Who's get? Because like, we service members right now are holding the bag.
I feel like those are pretty simple questions and pretty simple things that any of us over here or anybody could have like thought of. All right, if we do this, this and this is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like what is, I mean, it's obviously a save money, right? And then KBR there's
companies
in,
like Tanner's buddy. Sorry, I keep cutting you off because I think it's with the phone. I thought it's not what you were doing. Keep going. Yeah, keep going if you want.
No, you were good, Nick. I was done.
Like Tanner's company, he's talking about. There are a lot of companies, a lot of them that are very, very. They take a little bit of a hit on helping veterans, helping active duty people, you know, servicing the government at a lower cost. But capitalism always wins, everywhere. So you try to say, hey, they'll keep doing the right thing, even at 25 or at 75%. No, they won't.
No. That's going to be done eventually. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Just like we would love to give our t-shirts away. We'd love to. We'd love to make them $15, you know, for a shirt. But if you want them, you know, fulfilled and processed in America, like, imagine if we used American materials, these bitches would cost $50 a shirt, right?
And easily, dude.
Like, yeah, you guys complain about 25. Well, that's because they're made and shipped. They're fulfilled in America. Like, we could get them fulfilled in China, and they cost us $5, but we don't do that, right? Like,
is there another company that did that? Didn't they get all caught up with that? I'm not going to name any names. I'm just saying they were ripping out the tags and putting other tags on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Not grunt works. No, could be. I mean, not grunt style. Couldn't be
it. No, it wasn't grunt style. It was one of the other big ones. And they were claiming all their shit was made in the U.S. And their shirts were definitely not made in the U.S. But
the tag was.
The tag was, yeah. Well, they probably got the tags made in China, too.
with this whole situation, Nick, you're right. I mean, first of all, capitalism the laws of capitalism are going to win out, first of all. Secondly, you know, what we've all said at least two or three times on the show, like PCS, summer PCS season is coming. And when nobody's there, then either they're going to have to pay soldiers over what they're paying other people and have them move, because the soldier's not going to be able to eat 25% either.
Because they're doing it now. That's what's crazy. Yeah. Is like, you, if you go to PCS, like, I don't want to like kick people out of traffic, but these service members are coming on. Like, we're at the point now where we used to be able to make a little money. We're out of pocket $1,500, $2,000.
Yeah. See, and they're not going to be able to, and that might be a thing that like an E7, E8, you know, an officer can kind of handle.
Yeah. My question.
If you're specialist nut lab that's like going from, you know, Fort Bragg to Fort Benning, then like you can't eat that $2,000 and then actually eat when you get to where you're stationed or get
My bigger question, and I'm going at what you were saying, buddy, Tanner might know the answer. Where are the costs getting cut then if it's not advantageous anymore to move yourself? Is it the TDY money? Is it your allowance based off of your rank, right? Because your allowance based on weight, family, all that stuff. Like, where do you even know? Like, where are the cuts happening on both ends? Because like fuel costs, traveling, like where are the cuts actually happening?
So they got it at the source. So the government, and I'll send it to y'all so we post it, but the quote from General Reed at the Transcom thing was like, we have this, global contract. There, yeah, my man Fred Messler, this dude's the expert, man. This guy's awesome. But anyway, it's essentially they set this rate, this contract rate, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's it. So, and that rate affects what the housing, like the movers would do. Like, so that 75% discount set for them, that now applies to the Diddy moves, like the PPM moves.
Yeah.
So it's the same rate. So that it's the same bucket. So you might get DLA, for instance, or like TLA or something like that, but your actual, like the portion where you like by weight and like for gas and all that. So I guess if you used your travel card, you could use it, but you're only getting reimbursed based off of that rate.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, like, because
there's so many other costs that come, like your TDY, like the traveling, the hotels, like, that's shitty, man. If like soldiers are moving themselves and then like coming out $1,500, like,
and that's a serious problem.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the other thing is that if the soldiers smarten up and they go, okay, fine, then I'm just going to do a full ditty or not a full ditty, but I'm going to do a government procured move, right? And then nobody's there to pick up their stuff. If they get on a plane or get in their car and they drive to their next unit. And their unit's like, all right, we go to the field on, you know, whatever day. They're like, well, have fun at the field because I don't have anything to go to the field with because I'm waiting on my stuff because nobody will move it.
Yeah, it's definitely
a soldier's going to fix the problem before anybody else will.
Oh, yeah. That'll go up real quick and people will be like, what's going on? And to be honest, you know,
this is significant.
That it comes back on KBR and they lose some money. Like,
they'll get a kick out of this, Nick. Guess what? So they made an exception. I saw the email. I don't know if it was proprietary, but whatever. Like, I'm retired and kiss my ass. I saw the email from Transcom for guidance. So they exempted four bases for this summer move, right? You want to take a guess which one they were?
Fort Benning, Fort Bragg, Fort.
No, Wood. See, that would be common. Stop. You ain't think about it the right way. But Leavenworth.
Yeah.
A War College, Sar Major Academy. And then the other one was, what was it?
West Point. Yeah, West Point.
So basically, where anywhere somebody could see it that had some rank, they were like, nah, fam, don't go near that shit.
That's great. Yeah. I was going to say maybe Cavazos because all those household goods just burnt up. That was freaking tragic.
Yeah, it shakes out, man.
200 families, household goods started on fire in a warehouse. Now, I mean, is that part of it? Is that part of the problem, or did it not start yet? Is it because they didn't have enough people to move that shit?
Well, that's kind of the issue, is they're not being very transparent with the industry on what they're trying to do. Because if they're transparent, it shows that, oh yeah, we don't own trucks, right? Like, we actually can't do this. If they start telling everybody hey, this is the problems we're having.
So maybe they just burn the warehouse down so that they don't have to deliver the goods.
It ain't a problem no more. Ain't got to move it.
Then we just call them to move ashes, bro. By trucks.
Yeah, so, and then you guys.
Where does your role play now, like, with all this going on? Like, is there any way for anybody that's, like, I feel like we need to, like, get some of these emails, and we, like, need to start exposing some of this stuff on our platform. Like, this is.
Yeah,
like,
for sure, Dave.
There's going to be a lot of soldiers that are going to be in some shitty situations, man.
100%, like, dude.
So where's your role, I guess, in all of this? Like, so obviously, you know what's going on, but.
Yeah, so my goal, I want to humanize, because when this finger pointing starts at these moving companies, these are good people, I would argue. My role is essentially, I'm just a dude from the 82nd that didn't suck at his job from 2P. And turns out, as y'all know, a lot of that group of guys turned out to be pretty fucking important. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's kind of like, the knack of, and kudos to Nick and Dave, you for like me growing up as a private, and y'all would sit and I would listen and they'd be like, that's fucking stupid. Right. To like a commander and something. So my role, I see it as like, hey, man, that's fucking stupid. Like, what are we talking about right now?
Yeah.
Like, and so I've been rattling some, and got great feedback from all the way up to the ForceCom level. It is. Like, Transcom is doing its thing, and I get it. And I understand there's big money at play here, but really, like, we just got to, people at the high level need to, one, understand the problem, and it needs to be framed to them. That's kind of why I wanted to come on here and be like, hey, man, they're showing up in U-Hauls with day labor. Like, that's what this summer's moves look like, and that's what's going to be moving your stuff.
Yeah, how much does the Department of Transportation have to do with this?
DOT?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if Fred's in the chat. That guy's way smarter than me. But
because I happen to know the guy who chairs that, the congressman that chairs that. Yeah. Really, really good friends with their lead staffer.
Right.
So that's something where they can put pressure on, something like, or just even to inquire.
Right.
Situation that occurred.
That are just renting U-Hauls and driving them across the country as commercial drivers at this point.
Correct.
That would be an issue, because they're not ready.
Give me some stuff, Tanner, and I'll get that across.
I'm sure our brothers at Army What the Fuck Moments would love to share something like that.
Well, yeah, they're kind of mad at us right now. I mean, well, Spanky is, but the rest of them, like, we called out one time. I was going to talk about that today if Buddy didn't show up. I was going to be like, I was like, I love how the Army pages now, like, they all went shut down for like 24 hours because they had to, scrub their posts, and now they're turned back on. It's like, we are so happy that Bragg is back, and I'm like, okay, they must have hired a new PAO too. Like,
everybody got fired.
Straight reversal. What the Fuck Moments, I made fun of them saying like, hey, did you have to, with no more DEI words, did you have to hire a new admin? I was like, I just made a simple joke to them, and it was like, oh, they got mad. They got triggered, bro.
I saw that.
Be like that sometimes.
Yeah, like Kaz is like, no, that's actually kind of funny. It's actually good publicity for us. Like, if Gruntworks is sharing it, then we're talking shit back. Like, people from Gruntworks
will like all banter. Like, it's fun, and we all support each other. Some pages do make it about themselves, though. It's like, dude, we're all in this together, man. Like,
I think it was just one of the DEI admin that did. I said, put the infantry admin back on. I want him to talk shit to me.
I saw that shit. You're all switching between profiles. Gruntworks. I love doing that, dude.
I got to jump. If you guys are going to still stick on, I got another race I got to go watch. Tanner, I really appreciate you coming on and bringing light to this. I'm sure maybe these guys will keep talking about it or not. Get me as much info as you can on it, and I'll get it. I'll get it in front of somebody who maybe can do something. We'll have to that.
Sure. So. Will do.
All right, guys. I got to go watch 800. 800 meters.
Go. 45 minutes. Here in a second, too. I don't even know how to shut this live off, so it should be fun. I'm kidding.
Got 45 minutes for a 2-minute race. We're excited. Yeah. Let's go.
Hey, that sounds like cheer.
100-mile-an-hour tape for those toes.
Yeah, I go. Yeah, she. Yeah, I gotta go deal with that tonight too. My toe was hanging out. I mean, we're not poor. Come on.
Oh Lord.
But you guys got anything else on that? And we'll wrap it up here in a second.
No, I think it's interesting. I think it you know what it we. Somebody said it earlier. It's like, oh, why isn't it like blown up? And like, the simple answer is because it's happening to soldiers and nobody
gives a shit.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it'll nobody really. Yeah, the days of we support you and all that stuff are long gone. So yeah, it's not happening to them. It's just happening to soldiers. They don't see that soldiers are 24-year-old. Specialists that are trying to move themselves, their wife and their kid, to a different base, and then have the burden of losing money to move because the Army told you to move. At some point when they go, well, no, I can't, like, I just right. I can't move, I can't afford it, like, then what? AER, like, what I mean?
Yeah, because like, that's the problem. And nothing against service members, I mean, I was in the same boat. Like, a lot, I don't even want to say a lot, I have to look at a statistic, but it's probably pretty accurate. A lot of them live paycheck to paycheck,
yeah.
And like, yeah,
I lived paycheck to paycheck almost the entire time I was in the Army.
Yeah, I did.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I did too. You know, that's just dude.
Moving was stressful, relief dude.
Is going to be those numbers are going to be ringing.
And then
commander authority, right? Approval to go through
AER. We're talking about the move part, right? Yep. And the move part is stressful enough, but it's also like that's when you have to clear CIF. Yep. You know what I mean? So you've got that whole shenanigan of having to like replace stuff that got torn up in the field or whatever. So you're putting a financial burden on them then they have to like either sell or get out of their rental or whatever. And then they have to like, and you want them to move themselves. Even if you don't, you do this government procured move, and then nobody shows up, or the people that do show up is just some dude in a U-Haul truck with
Well, like you whatever said, there's so many forming their own companies now, right?
What does the insurance look like? If your items, it's a disaster, dude.
It's going
to
be
rough. And then trying to go through the military to get, like, because they're like, oh, well, we'll pay if anything happens to your stuff. Like, no, you will, but you'll do it if I can somehow, like, mount a camera inside there and prove that somebody broke it and it wasn't already broken. Right. And then you're only going to give me what it is worth now, not what it was worth, like, what's worth to replace. It's just all around bad.
The company, I mean, this is like the company I'm working with, man. I mean, I say working with, like, they're just good friends of mine. They've been in business in Fort Bragg for 40 years, right? And they're like, they're done. They're like, we can't, so we're trying to find something to get into. So you take something like that, and you walk into their office, they got all these, like, they're just good people. And at first they're telling me about it, and I was kind of like, how we do, like, half-ass listening. And then Monica was like telling me the story again, and it was kind of starting to connect. And she was like, yeah, it's KBR. I was like, KBR. I was like, I thought you said it was something called Home Safe Alliance. She was like, no, it's actually KBR that owns it. I was like, oh, then this makes perfect sense to me now. You know what I mean? Like, the light bulb clicked, and I was I don't know. I understand exactly what you're up against, because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, the same people that were charging the military like $200 a bag to do laundry and paying some like Taiwanese guy 35 cents a day to wash the laundry,
Yeah, right.
They can be trusted. They're probably got the soldiers. Wow,
because we literally have MOSs that do that. Like,
it's gonna be a rough summer, man. You're not gonna believe some of these pictures, dude. It's wild, bro. Like, they're just it looks like if you evicted a crackhead, how they're packing this stuff. Like, it's just like shit just thrown like in the
back. You need to get all that stuff to us and like we'll start sharing some of the stories and stuff. I think this needs to we need to get in front of this, man. Like, absolutely. For anybody that's watching too,
especially You said people like showing up in U-Hauls. Like, it's hard to tie anything down in a U-Haul regardless. You know what I mean? If it's your own stuff, you can try to pack it in there in boxes so that it doesn't move around. But, you know, again, like I said, even the, you know, if it's just some dude that has access to post that went and rented a U-Haul or a Ryder truck and then picks up your stuff and then is driving it across the country, like, that's not even like hotshot stuff. That's dude, like, because those are at least regulated. These guys can end up driving like, oh, I'm just driving to Alaska. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm, you know, straight through as quick as I can so I can make some money. And then, you know, when they start getting in accidents and, you know,
yeah, your stuff's,
all this other stuff.
See, I didn't know.
Then what?
I was so ignorant. I didn't know the difference between like a freight truck and like a moving truck. And it's like a moving truck has like a, has air ride suspension and all this kind of stuff. And freight, like there's no lift or no ramps. So they're going to start freighting the majority of this, which like if you got, that'd probably be my biggest advice. If you can't, if none, if we all fail. And you're moving this summer, do not put something that you do not want broken. Just like find a way to pack it in your car because it's going to get freighted and then trucked. And like I sent Dave's pictures just so you could see. It's like,
wait, I'm going to try this since I'm going to try to load them while you guys are talking. I'm going to see if I can.
But I just wanted you to see what like, not promising I thought. Anything. I was like,
horrible, dude.
They started
horrible.
Telling me this, and I was like, no way. And it was just wild that that's where we're at. You know what I mean? Like, and.
And then again, you know, but again, when that freight, which is everybody's stuff, when it gets from point A to point B, the burden of proving it was destroyed, paying for it, going through all the paperwork, all that stuff is back on the soldier. How does that help readiness?
Not at all.
You know what I mean? It doesn't. It's the exact opposite because instead of worrying about training and doing the stuff they need to do,
deadass.
They're trying to figure out how to get their stuff. They can't.
Yeah, see that picture?
Yeah. Dude, so that is from PCS from a pro. Got that from. She gets a lot of feedback from like this. You know, the people that are moving and spouses and whatnot. She's got a pretty solid following, and she's been all over this. And that's how our service member stuff's being moved right now. And we're not, and again, not even in peak season. And this is where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, what is it? Because like when I first heard it, I was kind of like, it ain't that bad. And then I started seeing this roll out. Yeah. I was like, bro.
You know, for the.
This one's the worst.
For the.
Look at it. Like, when he was just talking about that. There. Look at how it's.
Exactly, bro. That's like.
Yeah. It's just thrown in there. But like, and that's again for the people that. You know, there are people that watch that are civilians and not to, you know, when you're really talking about this, like a lot of these guys move every 3 years, right? So it's like everything that they own, they have to get loaded up and moved every 3 years. And it's not like they're asking to move. Like they're being told they have to move. Mm-hmm. They don't have a choice. And it, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, for every 3 years, they have to take, imagine packing everything in your house up every 3 years, like everything that you've ever gotten. That's like the new dinner table that you're proud that you just got. Cause it's the first dinner table you ever owned, or, you know, the hand-me-down freaking bedroom suit that you got from your great grandmother that you want to like, you get to pack that up every 3 years, and some clown that doesn't move people professionally is just wrapping some blankets around it and chunking it in the back of the truck and then driving across country willy-nilly. Like,
yeah, man,
at some point the soldier's going to pay the price, and B, again, if these dudes get pulled over, it's not like they're pulling over a freaking 18-wheeler. You know, if it's the U-Haul guy, they're pulling over somebody, all they're seeing is their driver's license. They don't have a logbook. They don't have like, you know, how long they've been driving, and they're just do a little bit of meth to keep driving. You know what I mean? Like, get some morning goat weed from the gas station and drive for freaking 18 hours straight to try to make a little bit of money.
Yeah, no, dude, that's kind of what, and I appreciate y'all having me again. I know like that's what I'm worried about, right? We're going to get to the summer KBR. We know how to get down. there's going to be a Spider-Man meme, a finger pointing, and there will be a strong push to blame this on local moving companies. Like, they've already kind of, because they're trying to get them to, like, it's this false notion.
And then the veteran moving companies are suffering from this. Like,
exactly. And that's kind of, I talked to like probably 10 of them this week.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you can't conscript them. They'll just be like, okay, exactly. You don't like us, we'll just leave. Then what?
But yeah, man, yeah. I just wanted to get on and like, it sounds absolutely. Like I'm Chicken Little here. I get it, but like, you know, the sky is falling on this one. So I was like, whatever, man. Like, I'll get on there and see if we can educate people about what's coming, man.
Yeah. No, this is pretty crazy, man. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more come from it. Unless, you know, somebody up top realizes that the storm is around the corner and they like fix it, you know? So
if there's anything right now, man, you know, this is in my mind, you know, there's guys that there's a lot of talk. There's, you know, if we can change some of the things we've been changing as drastically as we can. And that's where I think there's a frustration, a part of the movers, and like, because, you know, not to get into it, we know like these are hard ass working people.
Yeah.
Right. And they're looking at their political leadership and it's kind of like, you're going to take care of us here, man, because we're about to take, like, we're either going to close our doors or we're going to have to like regrow, you know, pivot to a whole nother business. So the hope is, yeah, that it like this, because, yeah, this is a tweet or a memo away from being solved.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, we're talking about companies that 99% of their business was the military, and they've been doing a phenomenal job for who knows 20 years, last 30 years, and then now they're just, you know, damn, dude.
And is this just a army thing, or is this DOD. All branches?
It's all of it.
DOD.
Some of the guys they're going to point to, hey, we're pulling up the legacy system's called DP3, and they're going to say, hey, we're pulling back to that. That's kind of. That's where I got a little frustrated with General Reed, is because like his next sentence was, but we're going to change the rate. Right. So they're basically saying, hey, you can use the old system, but come May 15th, we're dropping the rate anyway. So it's not going to change anything for like the business owners and or the service members. It's just kind of like, that's when I said, I think everybody's trying to do the right thing. I don't think certain key leaders, or definitely the political leadership, doesn't really grasp like the real problem. Right. It's not the rate. It's that this is America, and you can't dictate to a whole industry nationwide what they're going to do a job for. Like, that shit ain't never going to job, man. These guys.
It might if it's only like if you dictate that they can only make 25%. Like,
it would be fine if it's a reasonable rate.
If you're dictating that they lose money, they're like just they not going to do it.
And to be able to do the job.
Yeah. I just Googled it. Every year, more than 400,000 service members.
Yes. Yep. Wow.
That's quite a big number. That's two very like pretty decent size U.S. cities that are moving completely from one city to another. Absolutely. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. That's a crazy amount.
I'll package it up for you, man. I'll send you all the info I got, and then
let's keep
you posted on it.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah,
all right, buddy.
Well, fellas, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, so I'm gonna bounce out and go get
you. Some got time, the AR, buddy. Lessons learned.
That's not me.
Yeah, that's you today. It's in the script. You should have read the script.
That's
on Nick. I'm just messing with you, man. You can go to sleep, bro. Hey, for anybody that tuned in late, go check out veterantrashtalk.com. That is our website that has the links to everything. Go to YouTube, give us a subscribe, like. Go to shop.veterantrashtalk.com. That's where we sell all of our awesome merch and our tees. Today I'm wearing one of my favorite ones. I don't know why Buddy's not wearing it, but it says, fuck Hamas. That'd probably be a pretty good video. Just wear one and go to the farm out there, you know?
The Egyptians don't like Hamas.
I know they don't.
Fellas.
I know they don't.
Did they like they? They're not.
They also don't like the Palestinians, right? A lot of the Palestinians
would not recommend.
Weird how that works. Yeah,
they're not friends with them.
Let's not start that combo now. Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
not for a week or two.
Anyway. We love all you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next Saturday. Boom.
Appreciate it.